about the laundry tokens. It's not fair that the madrichim should have to be hassled yom and v'layla over laundry tokens. That's why we have the meeting, and people should come and get the laundry tokens. Make sense, go? Go on, make sense? All right, we're up to Perek Zion. Okay, Perek Zion, we saw, was a response to the end of the first part of the book. In Perek Vav, when he asked, what could possibly be good considering that death undermines everything of meaning? Perek Zion was a response to this, where he gave a list of the things that couldn't be identified as good. Tov Shem Yishem and Tov Yom HaMavad Yom HaValdo Tov Lalechad El Beit Eval Milechad El Beit Mishteh Tov Kas Mischok Tov L'shmo Garat Chacham. And basically last week we saw this philosophy, which was, instead of trying to build some unrealistic ideology and then being frustrated about how death undermines the meaning of it, why don't you build off you turn your greatest enemy into your strength and your friend? Look at death as a reality and try and learn from it what you can and should about living life properly. Instead of going to party halls and celebrating dreams of life, go to funerals and study people's lives and find out what they did with themselves, for better or for worse. And this led into a whole philosophy of, I guess, what we'd call pragmatism. Wise pragmatism. Remember we saw in Pasuk Chet, Tov Acharit Davar Mereishito, the end of a process is better than the beginning because you can learn from it. Tov erech ruach migvar ruach, patience is better than gaiva. Pasuk Tet, don't be quick to get angry because anger is the lot of the fools. That's where it comes from. Not it's wrong, morally wrong. It's foolish. It gets you nowhere. It's based on silly assumptions. Same way Pasuk Yud, don't be nostalgic about how the good old days were better. It's not wise to be that way. Why is it not wise to be that way? Because it's in the past. It's in the past. What did Pumba used to say?
Your past and behind.
You know, you got to put your behind in your past. Oh, whatever. Oh, Lion King, this is Bakias. Okay. Anyway, it's not enough to have money, Pasuk Yud Beis. It's not enough to have money. You have to have the chokhmah to protect it. Ki betzela chokhmah betzela kosef. In the end of the Perek, of Perek Zayin, he moves from his philosophy about life, which is being pragmatic, he moves to rejecting the other philosophies. The first philosophy he rejects in Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet is what? The first philosophy he rejects is what?
Trying to fix things.
Trying to fix things, right? Remember we saw the person who wants to make the world a better place, the socialist. Who can fix what God has made crooked? And therefore, instead, what was his suggestion in Pesukim Yud Dalet? Don't try and fix things, but go with the flow. Biyom Tovaye Betov, of Yom Ra, understand there are days like that too. In Tedvav, Ted Zayin, Yud Zayin, and Yud Chet, what philosophy is he rejecting?
Trying to be as good as you could be.
Why does it not pay to be a tzaddik? Correct. Why does it not pay to try and be as good as you can be?
Unnecessary.
Because there's tzaddik viralo. It's a kol riti b'mevli, yesh tzaddik oved b'tzidko. Therefore, Pasuk Zayin, Al Tei Tzadik Harbe. Don't try and be too much of a tzaddik. On the other hand, Pasuk Zayin, don't be too much of a rasha, because nobody likes Rishayim and you might get knocked off. What should you be? On the tzidkah scale, what should you be?
Middle.
What does the middle mean? It's actually not what the Rambam meant. What? As good as you need to be. Well said. Meaning, as righteous as people expect you to be. We spoke about this last week. Some people call this modern orthodoxy, right? Meaning, be as righteous as people expect, but, you know, don't become ideological or something, right? Chas v'shalom, right? Tov asher pasuk yudchet, techoz bezev, v'gam yizal tanachet yadachet ki yirei lukim yetzeit kulam. Everybody likes a guy who's religious. But don't be too religious, right? Be what I call Maccabee religious. You understand the point? The goal of the Maccabees is to create some fluffy, nice, comfortable religious identity that people, you know, we sing like the Brady Bunch. We like, you know, be religious enough, but not too much. Don't get too religious in Israel. What does that mean, too religious in Israel? Don't get too religious. Tov asher techoz bezev v'gam yizal tanachet yadecha. Chachma brings strength to the chacham, more strength to the chacham than 10 rulers in a city. There's no one who is perfect and doesn't sin, and therefore,
don't try to be.
Don't be hurt by things you hear people say. You know, you act the same way. So instead of, at the moment of recognizing the hypocrisy of being hurt when other people insult you versus you doing the same thing, instead of at that moment saying, you know what, I should try and live up to a higher standard, he's saying, recognize how the world works. Don't be hurt when he curses you. You curse him. Everyone say mind everyone else's back what they want to do. And that's it. Finish. That's how it works. Pragmatic. Yes?
What's the point of being good at all?
He would say that people like good people. Right? Look at what he said back in Pasuk Yud-Zayin you're asking about. Altir Sharabe. Don't be too wicked. Valti Yisachal. Don't be foolish. Lama Tamut Belo Yitecha. Why should you die before your time? And then in Pasuk Yud-Chet, Tov Asher Chuz Vegam Zeh Adecha, Ki Re Elokim, Yitzei Et Kulam. Everyone likes the Re Elokim, right? How do you know Pasuk Chav Gimel is introducing a new reflection? Kol Zo Nisiti V'Chuchma. All this I tried through wisdom. Amarati Yech Kama. I said I'm going to become wise. Behi Rechokami Meni. What's the problem with wisdom?
It's too hard to get.
It's too far away. It's elusive. And this is part of the tantalizing tension in our world, that on the one hand we know that we can know a lot. We know that we can know a lot. And we have an inner drive and taiva for knowledge. But no matter how much we know, there's always a lot that we don't know. And it's the lot that we don't know that causes us a lot of trouble, especially because we want to tell ourselves that we know. Meaning, if you know 99% of what it takes to make a bomb, how good of a bomb are you going to build? You're going to build a very dangerous bomb. They call it a dirty bomb, right? Meaning, if in the end part of it is elusive, it's a philosophy that not only won't work, but it can get you in a lot of trouble. And he's going to give you examples of the trouble. Rechok mashaya ve'amok amok mi'imtzenu. It's distant and deep, deep. What's the difference between deep and distant? Deep, deep undercover. What's the difference between deep and distant?
Even if you get part of it, you don't get the entire picture versus getting...
Which one would that be?
That's amok.
Deep. So I think that could be true. But I think also distant means it's beyond you, but sometimes you feel you can get there. I think it's just... Deep means it's you get a sense that there's another level that you're not tapping into. I'm not saying worse, better. You made a distinction, we can make a few more. But there are two different types of imageries, and I want to show you why he's using both. Saboti ani velibi ladat v'latur v'akesh chokhmah v'cheshbon v'ladat resha kesel v'asichlut olalut. I focus on trying to get all this information and all this knowledge. And what did I come to, Pasuk Chavov? U'motzeani, and I found... Mar mimavet, the only thing more bitter, worse than death, is... Anyone? What does it say, Yaakov? Woman. Woman is worse than death. Meaning we're frustrated over not having a philosophy of life, so we blame women. Was Kohelet a misogynist? Are we all saying, oh yeah, Kohelet, do it for it. Yeah, Kohelet. I don't know. You should know that in Bavel, it says in the Gemara in Brachos, that this pasuk, it says, U'motzani mar mimavet utayisha. And we say there's only one thing worse than death. Death was up to this point the worst. Remember, death undermined everything in life? So if a woman is worse than death, that's pretty bad. Right? So the Gemara says, there's also another pasuk. What's the other pasuk? Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. One letter difference, right? Between Matzah and Motzeh. So it says in Brachas, they used to ask at a wedding, is it a Matzah or a Motzeh? Is it a Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov, or is it Motzeh and Imami Mavazet Aisha? Of course, it's important for us to discuss regarding women, which this parak is obviously not about. You know, what makes the difference between Matzah and Motzeh? And that is one of our topics in the Dating and Marriage series. Okay? So either, you know, next year or on tape or whatever it is, right? Right now we're not thinking about that. We're thinking of becoming someone worthy of marrying the kind of girl we want to marry, right? You have to work on making yourself the kind of person that the girl you want to marry should be interested in marrying. So right now, the dating and marriage seminar is become someone worthwhile. Next year we'll talk about after you're someone worthwhile, how do you find the right person? But getting back to the point, what's pshat? What's any marry mother to Taisha? Yes. Ah, women. Women are difficult because they are not understandable. Yeah. I was going to respond to the pshat you were given by reading the end of the pasuk, which doesn't sound like what you're saying, but you're trying to fit it in. He says, why is a woman so bad, so bitter, so much worse than death? Because she's tricky.
Right.
She's tricky. Now, tricky in what way? She can entrap you.
Right. Which is beyond your logic.
Guys, we're not saying women are bad. Give me a chance to bring this around, okay? Let's not end this year just yet. You're saying women are bad because they're tricky. But how does he get into this? We're talking about the meaning of life and how to find the derech of life. And all of a sudden he goes, women are tricky? You understand my point?
No, his point is that, he's trying to say, okay, I can figure everything out through pragmatism and through...
Yeah, but I can't figure out women. Okay, so the fact that you can't figure out women means there's no purpose in life? Men have known they can't figure out women for a long time. They're still trying to figure out life, no? You understand my point? I'm not disagreeing with your statement. I'm disagreeing with whether that would be a point he would make to undermine the philosophy of life of the parak before. You understand the point I'm saying? Yes?
I mean, Shlomo personally had a lot of problems with his wife.
That's for sure true.
Trying a lot.
He knows what he's talking about, right? But again, how does that impact your philosophy of life? You understand the point I'm making?
A lot of his wives led him off path, I guess. Led him to Avodah Zarah.
And therefore?
So he's saying...
You have the ratio, you just haven't worked out the sefer yet.
I guess maybe he's saying something.
But you believe in the ratio enough to put it on the table even though you don't know where it's going. I'm fine with that. I'll take it for you if you want. Just say, Rabbi, you take the rest.
I'll give it a shot,
man. Go right ahead. You guys have trouble. You should have just left it with the ratio. But go ahead. Yes.
Maybe he's saying that a lot of times we try to figure out life, and it's so hard because the women are leading us in the wrong direction.
I think the problem you guys have with your interpretation is you're understanding women too literally. Let me explain what I mean. In Mishlei, throughout Mishlei, it always talks about good women and bad women. There are good women presenting you with good ideas of how to live life, and then there are the bad women presenting you with bad ideas about how to live life. The evil women, the temptress. And of course, that's how Eshet Chayil is the climax of the book. And according to the Gra, which is also Pshat, Eshet Chayil is not referring to a woman, it's referring to the Torah, which is the strongest Chachma. Because the whole book is talking about women. Shema Bani Musar Avich Ve'alti Tosh Torati Mecha is not only literally mother, it's the correct Torah, the correct approach. This is not only Mishlei. If you look throughout cultures, a woman is the symbol of the temptress, right? The woman with the apple. Why, by the way, is a woman the symbol of the temptress? Goes back to Chava. But of course, it's not Chava in particular, it's the Yetzer man has, right, that allows a woman to impact him, right, influence him. Women symbolize men's weakness. Men's subjectivity, men's willingness to do things that don't make sense. Let me give an example of what I mean, okay? Let's say, theoretically, you're the president of the United States. Okay? Let's say, theoretically, you've had 8 good years and you're going to be remembered positively. Okay? Now, does it make sense to get involved with Monica Lewinsky? Does it make sense? If a person's thinking only rationally, would they do such a thing? No way, right? And if you have a need for sex, there's ways to deal with that, right? So why theoretically would a president do it anyway? Because people don't always use this. There's so many examples of this. For example, how many people, their marriages fail because of affairs? A lot of people. Now you think when the person was having an affair, he was saying, let me think for a second if I want my marriage to continue or not. I don't, and therefore I'll have an affair. That's not how it happens. You know what happens? they're not using this. Don't sit down and think. Is it worth me endangering my marriage and my family and my life and my everything that I value? No, I'm not going to do it. This is stupid. You can apply it to yourselves, not yet married people, on your own level of the stupid things you do because of drives, yitzarim, even sex, you know, sex drives. The silly things people do because of the way they are tempted, the image of which is a woman, is a second reason why people can't find the truth. One, it's hard to find the truth objectively. Two, man has yitzarim, which cause him to make very big mistakes. Terrible mistakes. The woman is representative of one type of yitzar, but it's not the only one. I'll give you an example. Every once in a while, they come out with this trial, a scientific trial where they found some new wonder drug or whatever it is. I mean, that happens often, but every once in a while, they end up publicizing the next day, oh, the trial was wrong, or we have to rethink it. You know how many trials are impacted and influenced by people who want the trial to succeed? Why do people want the trial to succeed? Money, honor, etc. I mean, that's what we did in MTA. Meaning, to this day, I don't understand how a lab instructor thinks that he's going to send you home after the experiment to work on your lab book. That's almost like Lashon Sagi Nahar for doctor your lab book. I mean, maybe what you see, figure out how the experiment ought to have worked. You should have to use a pen and write in the lab. It's like, it's a Pella. I decided if I ever would have become a lab instructor, I was going to give the wrong ingredients for the chemical test and see what the results people got were. You with me? Now, again, mainly in high school, but that afterwards, people, how much of the truth is not found because of people's temptation to not find it? So death is something objective that cuts us off, right? Wisdom, we thought, was something that can make sense of it. The danger is that if people think they can make sense of it and they end up just fooling themselves, so that's worse than death, because here you worked so hard on the mission of trying to find the answers and you got fooled and you got misdirected. So again, the reason I prefer to explain it this way, and it's very similar to what Ben was saying, I'm just, you know, explaining in a broader thing, not just a particular example, and I think Shlomo's experiences definitely are part of this, right? Shlomo's a wise man, he's trying to figure things out, but ultimately he's affected by his yitzarim too, right? It definitely is his wives who led him astray, but it's not his wives who led him astray, it's his yitzarim that led him astray, right? And the reason I'm explaining in the broader context is to explain the flow from wisdom is distant and deep to we hate women. To women are more bitter than death. The flow of that is that women are part of the reason why people don't end up getting to where they should get to intellectually. This is what I truly found. Achat la achat limtzol cheshbon, going one by one to try and put it all together. Asherod biksha nafshi velo matzati adam echad me'elef matzati. I find one out of 1,000 was able to figure things out. V'isha b'chol eil lo matzati. I don't think it means a woman. I think it means people impacted by their yitzar. Levad re'ei ze matzati. Asher asai elokim et adam yashar v'hema v'kshu cheshbonot rabim. This last pasuk of Perek Zayin is a very important one. What's he saying here? What's he saying here? That's hard, no?
Can't be a chacham?
You can't be a chacham?
You're all alone if you are.
Sorry?
If you're a chacham, then you're like one thousand.
As we said earlier, I'm talking about the last pasuk in Perek Zayin, pasuk Chavtes.
If you're a chacham, you're all by yourself. No one else around you is like you.
That's what he said in Pasuk Chav Ches. I'm talking about Pasuk Chav Tes. Sam, you don't have one? Book? It's free of charge. Yeah. You got one with your name on it? No? Yeah. Shmuel Baum? No?
That's right.
Okay, we still have it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You don't want to make people who forgot to bring theirs feel bad. Okay, anyway, yeah, new. It's very simple. It's a straight Hebrew and English. Asher asah Elokim et ha'adam yashar v'heim evikshu cheshbonot rabim. Nu? God made man straight, but man looks for all kinds of cheshbonos. This is really the way we are. I'll give you an example. Let's say you buy an appliance. Well, you guys are too young for that. You buy a toy. You're too old for that. You buy a computer and something that you need to put together. You fill in the blank, right? You open it up, it has this big fat instruction book. I want you to know there are goyim who actually use the instruction book. Because Jews don't use the instruction book, you know. Make sure to read the security information, safety information before using. It's almost like a personal challenge, right? What am I, stupid? It's written for, you know, for African Americans. I don't read this stuff, you know. Do not attach the wheels to the chassis before, you know, putting the top. That's all. What do you mean? Attach the wheels. You put it like this. You put the whole thing together. Oh, that's why you don't have had. Almost like you have to go through the process to figure it out, and you're so smart for having figured it out, and not stupid for not listening to the instructions. Or like, you know, when you know, see the traffic sign, you know, for the Brooklyn Bridge, turn right. Oh, yeah, that's one way to go. I'm not going that way. You go all the way around. Oh, that's why we meant to turn right over there. For parking here, I'm not paying $10. I'm going to park across the street. So then, then your car gets towed away. Oh, that's why you don't park there. This is the Eden. I remember this summer, my wife and I were scholars in residence in Memphis. Now, you go to Memphis, you must go to Graceland. It's like, oh, sir. It's like a chil Hashem, you know what I mean? You're going all the way to Memphis, you're not going to go to Graceland. So we found out we're going to Graceland. You pull up in front of the door, it's $20 for parking. $20 for parking. Just to park. So I said, there was a shopping mall right next to Graceland. There the parking is free. I'm Jewish. I don't care if it's 103 degrees outside. So I drop my wife off. I turn around. I go back. I park in the lot. You come back at the end. The car's still there, just fine. Say $20. That's how you know that Memphis is not New York. Because in New York, there's no way that would have worked. There in New York, they got figured out because New York has been impacted by the Jews. Now, they have figured out in this shopping mall right next to it that they're next to Graceland and it's $20 and there's free. But all the goyim, they're going right in. $20? Sure, here's $20. See, Eden and Goyim. God makes people straight. They naturally follow rules. Jews, they don't go by what's natural. We're going to figure out. We have an angle. Right, Sam? You're thinking Esmini in London? We're not going to go straight. That's what the Goyim do. You see in traffic, who come to traffic? Well, the guy sit there. The Jews are driving on the shoulder. The Jews are figuring to turn around and take another route. Now, when you turn around and take the other route, most of the time, you're going to get there quicker? No. That detour button on the GPS, it's for the Jews. It should say, Jewish detour button. Well, wait a second. If I get off the highway, and I go down here, and I come back here. And by the way, if a Jew does that, and he gets back to the highway, at the same time as the guy who's in traffic, he feels good about himself. Because he went the other way. Sometimes we have this thing that we have to know more. We can't follow on a personal level our natural, reflective impulses to be good people. This is the tension. And as a person, it's interesting that God creates us with a moral compass. We all know what that moral compass is, right? Even if we were raised in New York or London or the like. We know the part deep down inside us that's programmed to care for other people, to do the right thing. That's Yirei Elokim, right? That's the way God creates us, Yashar. Sefer Bereshit, Chazal call Sefer Yashar, based on a pasuk later in Tanakh. And then a tzivin is Akdoma, very interesting to read in Sefer Bereshit. He says, the Gemara says, God can't stand people who aren't Yashar. And that, well, what's Yashar? Yashar doesn't mean Yirei Tzitzis and Tzvilin. That's how God makes us Yashar. But man stopped and said, wait a second. Why should I live that way? Why should I do that? That doesn't make sense. That's not going to get me ahead. Vehema bikshu cheshbonot rabim. And this is the response. I think we can put in the name which voice is responding to the Chacham. Who is the antithesis of the Chacham? The Yirei Elokim, right? The Chacham is saying, let's not do what's right. Let's not do what comes natural to us. Let's be calculated. The word calculated means where a person is not, everything is thought out, planned to figure out the way to beat the system. One of my Balabatim told me the Shabbos, I think it's really true. The government in Israel assumes that people are trying to beat the system, so they are building a system that to deal with people who are trying to get around the system. And there's a constant cat and mouse between the Jewish government and the Jewish people in Israel. You understand what I'm saying? You get around the system, they make a new system, so that when you get around the system, you have a new system. And if everyone would just go straight, we could save ourselves a lot of time. My battery's low. In case people want to know, they're nervous. It's not going to explode. At least as far as I know. Okay. I can turn it off, and people don't get scared. People don't get scared. You know, the only time your phone turns off is when you don't want it to turn off. Every time you push a button on my phone, it says, switch off. I'm like, did I say that? The one time I can't get my phone to switch off is when I want it to switch off. It's amazing. It just takes time. My wife's angry. Turn off your phone. I'm trying. I'm pushing all the buttons. You remember with me, Mitch? That's why people even have to take out the battery sometimes. It's just so, you can't get it to go off. You have to take the battery out. Ellie, you ever had to do that? Not yet. Okay, Baruch Hashem, your phone is more respectful. Behema bikshu cheshbonot rabim. We can give so many examples of this. A man is made straight, and he's fear al cheshbonis. I always liked this idea in high school. My son goes to a high school that's like this, where they have this idea. I'm not going to go to class. That's a waste of time. I'm going to do it my own. You'd think there's a reason to have class, no? And the people who don't go to class, do they really do it better themselves in less time in a better way? Sam, I know you need to believe the answer is yes, but I'm talking about in truth now. I'm talking about what our Yetzer tells us we want to believe. We have it all figured out. I'm not going to go to class. That would be the straight way. I'm going to... So we come to Yeshua at the cult, we have a program. This is how you learn Gemara. I don't need to learn Gemara that way. I'm going to learn, you know, how to pick ice during afternoon Seder, and I'm going to learn how to learn Gemara better at the end. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got it all figured out. And therefore, we got to figure out our own. I mean, you don't learn Gemara that way. Oh. And you get like that sophisticated, oh, where you couldn't have known it before, right? That would have been just following straight. Okay, let's continue. Who is so wise like the Chacham? I think as you see from the continuation of the Pasuk, it's sarcastic. Chachmat Adam te'ir panav, ha'oz panav yishuneh. His little face is lit up by the wisdom of man. Ani Pasuk Bez, pi melech shmor. I follow the rules. Val devrach fuat Elokim. And as we remember from Perek Hey, the Yirei Elokim is coming back with all these warnings. Remember the warnings he's on the beginning of Perek Hey? Don't be so quick to speak. Don't be so quick to make nedarim. Al tibahel mipanov telech. Al tamod bidavar ra. Ki kol asher yachpot yaseh. Because God is in full control to do whatever he desires. Ba'asher dvar melech shilton. Umi omar lo mata aseh. The word of the king is in control, Shilton. Shilton was a big part of what we saw in the end of the first part of the book, Prakim Hay and Vav. Remember? That we don't have the Shlita over the things we gather in our lifetimes. The word of the king is what's in control. Umi omar lo mata aseh. Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. Someone who keeps the rules, he won't know bad. But etu mishpat yeda lev chacham. But a time of judgment will be known by the heart of the Chacham. This is the thing I'm always telling people. Hashem cannot expect you to make the right decisions in life because we're human. But he can expect you to be sincere about trying and not to think you're smarter than the system. Who gets judged in the most severe way? The Chacham. Because he's trying to beat the system. Ki lechol chefetz yesh etu mishpat. Kira at ha'adam rabba alav. because man's badness is too much for him. Remember we saw in the end of Perek Vav, let's go first to the end of Perek Hey. Remember he was talking about the lack of control. As opposed to people who don't have the shlita. Perek Vav, the last perek, the lowest point of the first part of the book. There's bad in this world, which is rabahi al adam, too much for man to handle. And what is it? You have everything, but you don't have the control to use it, and that's because we die when unexpectedly. Death is what's too much for man to handle. It's rabah yala adam. But now in Perek Chet Pasuk Vav, he has something else he believes is worse. Ki lachol chefes yesh edu mishpat, ki ra'at ha'adam rabah alav. It's the badness of man, which in this context is his attempt to outsmart his own natural compass, which is too much for him. Ki einenu yodea mashi kasher yeh miyagidlo. Person doesn't know what's going to come. Ein adam shalit baruach lichloat aruach. We spoke about man's lack of control. What example is he giving about man's lack of control in Pasuk Chet? Ein adam shalit baruach lichloat aruach. What ruach is man unable to imprison? What ruach does man lack control over? Continue reading the pasuk. His own. What do you mean man can't control his own spirit? His own spirit he can't control.
Dies.
What?
Dies.
Because ein shelton biyom hamavet. Man has no control over the day of death. The ein mishlachat b'milchama. Milchama is the best example of man's lack of control over life. So I want to explain to you why. None of you having ever fought a war. War is random. You know, you see these movies where the tough guy always survives? That's like so untrue. Because when there's a bomb dropped from a plane in the sky, you don't survive because you're stronger or faster or named Van Damme. And you say modern warfare. You see these old movies. One team lines up on one side, the other team line, and they're not playing like Red Rover. You guys play Red Rover? Now, Red Rover, you run really strong, you duck under the arms, you can get through. Now, here, one team lines out, they go, why do you survive? Because you're tougher? When they shoot that whole, you know, rain of arrows, you know, all these arrows are flying both ways. The way you win, I say patriot, right? Fire a cannonball. You mainly get hit with an arrow, you're a tough guy, you rip it out, you know, suck out the blood, and you know. Okay, but when you get hit in the head with a cannonball, that is not a mere flesh wound. I mean, you're showing patriots, and the guy's standing there, this cannonball knocks his head off. Doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how many head lifts you did, you're not going to make it. Even if you're Sylvester Stallone, that was my day, you're not going to make it. Who survives wars? Wars are examples of how totally not in control we are of life. It's an extreme example. There's so many other things too, right? One day, I was walking to the bus, and a blustery winter day, I didn't know what blustery was then, but you know, now I'm supposed to use a blustery winter's day. I'm walking in the street, and all of a sudden, this huge branch from a tree comes crashing down like 2 feet in front of me. And that branch hits me on the head like from 50 feet in the air. My parents would not have had to worry about hospital bills. I'm talking about one of these big, you know, gesunter. How much in control are we, right? Everyone has their own stories, you know, this, that. How in control are we? Ein mishlach b'milchama. Why is he talking about all this lack of control? How does it connect to the last five words of the pasuk? Let's read it together. Ein adam shalit baruch lichloat aruch ve'ein shilton b'yom ha'mavet ve'ein mishlach b'milchama ve'lo yimaleit reshat b'alav. What do the last five words mean? Person can't escape Yimalei, right? From his evil doing. How do those last five words flow from the whole first part of the pasuk, which is about our inability to control our spirit and death? Truth is that the last five words of the pasuk are why the pasuk's here. Because the last five words of the pasuk are what are continuing the theme he was talking about before, which was... What was his thesis here? In Perek Chet. the thesis of the Yirei Elokim in response to the Chacham. So he said in Perek Zayin, he responded to the Chacham, the end of Perek Zayin, by saying, we try and figure out wisdom, we can't get it, we mess ourselves up, we should just go by what's straight. Right? Remember we said in the end of Perek Zayin, Elokim asat adam yeshavehim v'kshu cheshbonot rabim. Okay. We should go by what's straight. Then in Perek Chet he was saying, not only should we go by what's straight, but the Chacham is going to be punished, right? Remember? Pesuk Bet, Ani Pi Melech Shmor, we should follow the rules. Pasuk Hey, Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yedah Devara, Ve'etu Mishpat Yedah Lav Chacham. The Chacham will one day be judged. We don't see the judgment. How do we know that it's really coming? Pasuk Vav, Ki Lachol Chefetz Yesh, Etu Mishpat, Ki Ra'at Adam Rabah Lav. Everything is going to be judged. What's the response of the Chacham to this? What would the response be? What judgment? You see judgment? I didn't see judgment. Yeah, you know, yes, no, why do we sin? If God was sitting in front of us, God, chvodo v'atzmo, right? And we knew he's in control, and we knew he's going to punish us, and we know he expects to be wrong. We would never sin, right? Why do we sin? There's a God. If he's a guy, he's going to punish, not going to punish, won't be judged, right? Yeah, come on, right? That's the answer at the end of Pasuk Chet. Lo yumaleit reshet be'alav, you can't get away from it. And what basis does he use for the claim that we cannot get away from it? What's he saying in Pesukim Zayin and Chet? We don't know what's coming. And we're not in control in a way that we can avoid it. It's inevitable. And just like we're not in control of the most basic thing, which is our own lives, man should see how tenuous his assumptions are, his control of himself is. Even his own life he can't control. His own spirit inside his own body he can't control. Just like death is inevitable. And when it comes, it's totally out of your control and determined by forces above you, so is the judgment day that's inevitable coming and you can't avoid it. Let's read the pasuk now. One pasuk chet. Ein adam shalit baruch lechlo at haruach ve'ein shaltom b'yom ha'mavet ve'ein mishlach b'milchama v'lo yimaleit reshat be'alav. Here's a sharp answer of the Yirei Elokim. Now the good news is for those who hate religion, next week he's going to rip apart the religion again. We're going to go back and forth. Two more classes. Mirtz Hashem. We finish well. We'll talk about where we go from here. All right. Good day.